Entertainment, Dahi Ramsey, Marketing Manager, Yvonne Green on Theatre Letterkenny, Michael Leddy, writer and blogger. Good morning, dears. How are you?
Good morning.
Let's get microphones up. How are you getting on?
We're getting on the best.
Yeah,
good. I think
good
so.
Good to have you back. Any word from Fionnuala? She's back next week, of course.
No, she's completely abandoned me. I'm so glad. Yeah, exactly. I'm so glad to see a familiar face just to help me get through this. 2 weeks is rough.
I am here for you.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Okay, no problem whatsoever. Glastonbury Dahi, you've it down on your list here. I didn't get to watch as much of it this year as last year. It's not because of my want, it was just I couldn't watch much of it. How do you rate it? Did you watch it?
I didn't think it was as good as previous years.
Right.
I thought the coverage was poor, really.
Mm. Do you have access to BBC 3 and 4?
Yeah.
And the red button?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And the iPlayer. Where I live, weirdly.
Yeah.
Sort of between Remelt and Rathmullen and Milford.
Geo just says,
It comes across.
Brilliant, perfect.
All right.
The peninsulas.
Yeah.
Over to Dahi's house the next time I want to see something that's not readily available.
Yeah.
On the player.
So, but there was some good stuff out there. Elton John was obviously...
He did a magnificent
set, yeah. Mm. And as they say, all killer, no filler.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he went for it. He knew what the gig was.
But he did it at a very, very high standard.
Oh, yeah. No, he was very, very good.
Well, in terms of his back catalogue, I wouldn't be a fan, but I mean, I'm well aware of his back catalogue. I mean, he can pull so much out if he needs to. Yeah.
But it's just the amount of songs
that...
I know he had a teleprompter, which some people like Piers Morgan had an issue with. He is a teleprompter for a 30-second intro. This guy sang songs for two hours.
Yeah.
And it was just to remind him of lyrics or wherever that might
cares?
Be.
I
have no issue with that. Couldn't understand.
Why would that?
I'll tell you why. Because it just so happened that someone picked it up on a shot.
Mm.
And everyone, I suppose, wants to be the first to respond sometimes on social media and make some remark. I'm probably guilty of that myself at times. But anyway, I think that's more or less what happened. But it was just not the quality of the songs. I thought the performance was excellent.
No, it was top notch.
The whole way through.
Yeah.
Class acts.
Sorry. Letterkenny's Gabriel Blake was playing with the Murder Capital.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing the Woodsies stage, a big stage, and they rocked it. I have to say, Gabe was brilliant, you know. I think everybody can really be proud of him, you know.
Mm.
So that was great to see. Who else? Blondie. I love Blondie.
Yeah.
I was a bit disappointed with how they approached it. It was very rock. It was very guitar solo-y.
Mm.
I think if they'd have gone the whole disco route, which of course is in their repertoire, Sunday afternoon at Glastonbury, I think everybody would have gone for it.
Like, I am not all over what's happening in music-wise, but normally there's enough there that I go, ooh, I like them.
Yeah.
I could see what they're got. Why could I go, ooh? Yeah. But anyway, you get what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah.
I didn't get that this year. I didn't sort of... I didn't discover any music this year,
if that makes sense. There was a young woman from London, Kat Burns, and she was absolutely lovely, gorgeous, you know, really nice, easy listening in a way, but very modern. And she had a lovely manner about her. So I think Kat Burns, it's on the iPlayer if anybody's got it.
Well, I am going to be a bit controversial here. And after Elton John, I think the standout act is, and this is going to be a little bit controversial, was Rick Astley.
On social media, I didn't see any...
It might not be one for the purists, right? But I'll tell you, he did a brilliant Smith sets. Highway to Hell and the drums. I thought that was one of those... I actually thought it was almost, dare I say, iconic, that someone who was uncool...
Yes.
Right, and he was so uncool that it probably hindered his career because he's clearly incredibly talented.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was able to come out and authentically entertain like he did. Yes, for the most part, it was other people's music.
Yeah,
I thought he looked so cool. I thought he looked well, and I thought he was brilliant.
I thought he was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's it.
But they embraced him. I saw the tweets.
Why couldn't you?
They
really
embraced him in a big way. When you see Rick Astley tweet or trending, I was like, "What the heck's going on here?" So I had to click on it.
I thought it was a lot of fun, and I thought it was a bit Butland, so wasn't it?
What's wrong with that?
You know. No, I mean, when he did Never Gonna Give You Up, I must admit, I was smiling like, I have to. The Smith set, I think with the Smith set, he, I don't know, I don't think they needed him. It was a joyous sing-along. If you saw it, the audience were singing everything, full volume. I don't think they needed him, you know.
That Bit Butlins is the best comment I've heard in a long time. It's
well,
a bit
it was like.
Yeah,
you
and,
know.
And I think the predominantly saddest moment for me was Lewis Capaldi. Lewis Capaldi is a really interesting character, clearly incredibly talented.
Yeah.
We went down to watch him in the Three Arena, I don't know, was it earlier this year or late last year? I can't remember. Maybe it was earlier this year. And he was fantastic, but it was clear that he was struggling with a bit of anxiety and the twitching.
Well,
from,
he's been diagnosed with Tourette's. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, as I say, there were at times it's hard to describe because it was great to be there and for him to be who he is. But also at times you could see that it's appeared that he was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right. Now he goes on his own socials and say, look, it looks like that, but I'm all right. Now, unfortunately, because of his heavy workload and what have you, he was unable to really, to any extent, do his Glastonbury gig. The audience held him out, him out with the big numbers. Now he's
really
taking
carried him
an indefinite time away. But I just thought, you know, I just thought it was incredibly.
I think
sad.
It was. Well, I think it was one of those classic Glastonbury moments.
Right.
You know, the crowd really lifted him, carried him, and I think if he hadn't looked so distressed, it would have been. You know, but he did genuinely look distressed.
That's what I'm saying.
But I thought it was interesting because, like, Kat Burns, who I was talking about, I mean, she talked about her anxiety as well. And she was like this one, you know, how she talked about how difficult it is for her to actually get up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she looked as cool as cucumber. She looked calmness itself. But, you know, she was talking about it. And I think it's great that these things are talked about.
Yeah. I mean, it encourages people to, it takes away the shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. From, he said he's taking time away to work on his physical and mental health.
Yeah.
And the two are intertwined. And you know what? Fair play to him. He seems to, there's a documentary about him on Netflix. It seems to have a good. He's grounded in normal life as well, in inverted commas. So he's got the best chance now to work through that.
I've always wanted to be grounded in normal life myself one of these days.
It scares me, the thought of it. So you would give the experience of Glastonbury, what you consumed, over out of 10 over the weekend?
Not a classic year.
No,
six. Six.
I think that's fair enough. Did you watch any?
No,
of
I did not. Mike? So no.
Oh, okay. So what would you give it out of 10?
That's a really good question, isn't it?
Six.
I'll think about that. Okay. I'll just disagree with Dahi and say something other than six, just to bring a bit of conflict to the show, because that's what people want.
There's quite
that's
a
what
bit
you're
on
messing with Fionnuala, is it?
Yeah.
We're kind of missing. We're going to be talking a bit about stage two
and
TV, but I want to go to the cinema.
Yes.
Flash.
Okay.
Yeah. The Flash. That's the wrong Flash. But anyway.
Do the shake and flash. No,
no, that's shake and vac.
Shake and vac. Oh, that was a great ad. That was one of those great NAF
ads. Ran for about 30 years.
It ran forever. Yeah, it was
do
one
the
of the
shake
big
and vac and put your fresh
freshness back.
Back.
Yeah, it was one of those
when
great ads.
When your carpet smells fresh.
Oh my God, I'm having
your room does too.
Every time you vacuum,
remember what to do.
Wow, that is marketing 101, isn't it?
Isn't it like,
I'm having a complete flashback here. It's like that episode of Cheers when they didn't have any dialogue, but they all did one of the Queen tracks or something at the start. That was amazing. The Flash was in the cinema last week, and myself and Fionnuala and two other friends, four of us went along to see it. It has opened spectacularly poorly.
Wow, okay.
In America. It's one of the biggest superhero flops of all.
Is this the one with Batman in it?
Yeah, Batman.
I thought everyone was raving about it.
Well, everybody was raving about it, but nobody went to see it.
Right.
Would be the best way to put it. And it opened lower than Black Adam, which was the biggest flop DC had ever had. Now they have a new biggest flop rapidly. And it is absolutely, it's catastrophic globally in terms of the amount of money that this is going to lose unless it makes it back streaming. Having said that, all four of us that actually went along to see it, and I myself was reluctant about going to see it for various reasons, the four of us thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, I'd say Kieran loved it passionately and I came pretty damn close. We all really, really enjoyed this movie. It's a funny movie. Part of the reason for that is the same writers who did Dungeons and Dragons, which we were raving about a couple of months ago. And these are the same guys who did movies like Horrible Bosses, Vacation, they did the Spider-Man movie a couple of years ago, the very first one with Tom Holland. So they have a good track record of doing sort of geeky sci-fi comedy type things. And they absolutely pulled out all the stops on this movie. And for my money, I would recommend it. I am somebody who did not like Black Adam. I absolutely hated Shazam 2. In fact, when it comes to the DC universe, the last one I actually really loved was Wonder Woman. And that's going back 6 years. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long time since I enjoyed a DC movie as much as this. The thing about it is, people didn't go to see it, and there's a couple of really good pieces out there about why people didn't embrace it. Number one, this version of the DC universe is folding. It's coming to an end. People are generally aware of the fact that all of those characters are going away. Like, they're, you know, you're losing Henry Cavill, he's been recast. You're losing Ben Affleck's Batman. You're losing, probably losing Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Maybe there's a question mark over her. So there may be an element of disinterest because
who's
of that.
Who's Batman in this?
That's a difficult question to answer without spoilers.
Oh,
there's right, more than okay. one. Well, I think it's out.
Keaton's in it and Affleck's in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's one of those films. It's a multiverse movie.
Ah, get it.
You see, well, yeah, yeah.
Get
you
about
see,
that.
Yeah, well, right. You would lose okay. Greg when I say that. And it actually goes back further. I mean, no spoilers, but I mean, it goes back to the 1960s and in terms of stuff that it incorporates. So it's very, very geek heavy, but funny and enjoyable. The problem with the Flash movie, probably the timing, part of it is the fact that DC Universe is coming to an end in that form.
Oh, I don't know.
Part of it is that
would that influence audience?
Not big audiences, but it would influence some audiences, not big. But Ezra Miller was in, the star of this movie was in the news for a couple of years for all the wrong reasons. A lot of problems with the police. Spectacular problems with the police, hiding from the police, taunting the police on social media, saying you'll never get me, fleeing across Hawaii. There's a lot of bad press around that particular performer.
Sounds like that's the film they should have made.
Yes, I'm sure Netflix
but
is on it.
Also, is yeah. Flash well, as yeah. the lead character well, this thing is, no. enough to yeah. carry a
the
film?
Flash, this is another thing that people have said about the film. The Flash has just ended a 9-season hit TV series that people embraced
yeah,
in
I'm
a big
about
way.
Broader audience now. You
but even so, well, that's that's
like you
still,
say Batman, you say Superman, you say yeah. Wonder Woman. Yeah, yeah, you don't yeah. have to have watched a 9-part series on
to understand this thing.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Is Flash a
probably
significant
not. Probably
enough
not. Maybe
character
not, yeah.
to sort of go right build a film around him?
Probably based on the fact that nobody went to see this film. Probably
Ant-Man,
not.
I don't know what franchise that's in.
Yeah, he's Marvel. But they were big. Cares? Like each of those did better. Each of the
Marvel,
each of the, yeah, they, and that's the thing about DC as well. DC have not quite managed to do what Marvel does, and people don't embrace them the same way. The movie flopped. That's the fact of it. But I'm still going to say, for us, the four of us and myself, we really enjoyed this. We were laughing. We got the geeky stuff. I mean, there was a lot of stuff. I mean, it's not just Michael Keaton coming back as Batman from 1989's Batman, but there's a lot of other stuff layered in there that we all got. Maybe the general audience won't get a lot of that stuff, but we did, and we thought yeah. it was funny. It was very funny.
I genuinely think things can actually be too clever for the wrong people.
Oh, yeah, it can
and
be.
And I feel a lot of these films yeah. and franchise are getting too clever for their own good.
Well, this is very self-referential, which can be a turn-off, yeah.
Yeah,
can
know.
Be a turn-off, yeah.
Like, everything you've described to me now is every reason why I will never watch it.
The thing, I've got to know
with
that.
Every
oh,
word
I know that.
That comes out of your perfectly formed mouth, I feel ever more discouraged.
But the thing to remember, and I agree with you, I absolutely agree with you, but the thing to remember is when you look at the global, and I did this last week, the global and American box office, two of the top four movies globally right now are Marvel films. And when you look at last year, I think eight yeah. of the... Yeah, so they are clearly... the general public are still globally embracing superhero movies, and they're not turned off by multiverses in the way you are, because they embrace not only the Marvel ones like Doctor Strange and Spider-Man, but they embrace the one with Jamie Lee Curtis. What is it? Everywhere, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, that one? Yeah.
Well, that's a different...
That's film. A different kind of thing.
But what we need
that's
is...
That's amazing.
But the problem
but I just think, right, you can't keep going back to the same well. I mean, maybe the advent yeah. of AI is what we need, because clearly humans...
Controversial.
No, but clearly humans are running out of ideas because they keep yeah. having to... Yeah. And the only thing that what will happen because of what you say about what films are dominating the top
yes.
five is they'll keep doing the same thing.
Oh well, yeah,
it'll be another.
It is a business.
2 years
yeah,
before
yeah.
maybe someone yeah. tries something different.
But it is
know.
A business, and if something is making money, you'll keep making it. So Marvel are going to yeah. keep doing what they're doing, but DC yeah. are failing. I mean, their movies yeah. are not cracking
what
the top 20.
What are you giving
20.
It out of 10?
I would give this a real, for me, hardcore 9. I loved it.
You might watch it when it comes on the Wii screen, Dahi, or if you've seen it. Or
I'm kind of over superhero
yeah,
movies.
I think so. I am too.
I'm kind of past
exhausted.
That.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Know.
And Greg's only seen two of them, so I mean.
No, I watched all of them. It's just the crossover two yeah. of the same characters in the same film. Blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
Okay, well, speaking full of films, like, yeah, like you yeah. going paying your hard-earned money, not to mention the popcorn and everything, go and watch a film and coming back saying it was great, but it really was a setup for the next two films.
That's
not acceptable.
Not for you,
to me.
I
I'm not ready to buy into three films because money's so hard.
The last thing I would say about this one, just before we leave,
if we get a slush fund here,
then it's different. It's a whole different thing. It's different.
If I could start, if there was a barter account, I could get my hands on.
That's just for the advertising people.
That's only the thing I would say about this as well, and this is probably the best thing to leave it on. Only for the fact that I was invited. Kieran was going, Tom was going. Yeah. I said to Vanilla, I wasn't going to go and see this in the cinema. I wasn't going to go and see this in the cinema. I wasn't bothered about it because it's DC. I was not, and I was, of the four of us that went along, I was the reluctant one. I was like, well, we'll see how it goes. So make of that what you will, but I would not have gone to see this.
A listener says, I watched a lot of Glastonbury. Really good acts such as Ray, Olivia, Dean, Elton John was just amazing. Lewis Capaldi is an amazing voice. It was sad watching him struggle with the last song. Good to see the likes of Candy Staunton do Suspicious Minds. Her big hit was Young Hearts Run Free, indeed.
I thought with Candy Staunton, her voice, I mean, she's in her 80s.
Yeah.
So fair enough, and I'm a huge fan, but the voice isn't there.
Yeah, and that's so what was the standout for Elton John, because if the truth be told, say, for instance, Lionel Richie, right? He's still a great performer, but the voice just isn't quite there. Diana Ross is the same. It's great to see them up on stage. The voice, the Elton John, for me, it was all still there.
Yeah. Mm.
That's what was the standout for me.
Yeah.
Right, because for me, just to see the people live is not enough. You want an experience of what they had previously. Mm. Big weekend in Gwydor next week, Salt Music Festival with Dean Lewis, Tiny Temper, Lyra, and Jenny Green. Looking forward to some great live music. Okay, sounds good. Great to see these artists being brought to this part of the world. Fingers crossed the weather picks up. Kevin from Dunlow, while we've been hearing about people spending it like gold all week, and maybe RTE Gold will have to change its name, so that's why I'm looking forward to Indiana Jones 5. I'd prefer to watch someone actually find gold and earn it. I was reminded that Harrison thought Ford was third choice. Only Tom with the Tash Selleck was contracted, and Michael may have missed out on classic Magnum PI. Say hello to Fanula, no doubt, fan in one hand and cocktail in the other, from a sunny Donegal. Kevin from Dunlow, who's an outrageous liar because it's not sunny in Donegal. But I think the fan and the cocktail, definitely that's what she's at.
So I definitely missed that, that's true, yeah. In a parallel universe, they're going to see Tom Selleck as Indiana Jones, because he was... It would have happened, but he couldn't get out of Magnum.
But it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Then it's irrelevant.
But in another universe. The multiverse, Greg. The multiverse. It's out there.
I would. If he was allowed, I'd punch you. No, I wouldn't. Back with more after these. I just fell over a chair. I don't think there's anything really. I was in a rush to get back. I needed more water.
And he does do his own stunts. I can attest.
I do my
fair
own
play.
Stunts very poorly. I couldn't get a look like so handsome and lean. And so fleet of foot.
If anybody's got lookalikes of Greg that they've seen, please send them into Highland Radio.
I think most people have half a dozen of them in their fridge, if the truth be told. Eggs.
Oh, very good.
It's bad when you have to explain it. Hopefully a listener out there got that joke. Right, okay, so we've done Flash. Let's go to On Green On Theatre. Jimmy's Winning Matches, probably the closest we're going to get to football action, is it, for the next until next season anyway. What's this about? Well, we know what it's about, Dahi. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, we're back in rehearsals next week for Jimmy's Winning Matches. It'll be part of the Eric Larks Festival this year, so it'll be running from the 20th to the 22nd of July in Greenan. It's kind of a one-woman tour de force by Louise Conaghan.
Very well received.
Very well received. Yeah. And by the general public and by members of the team, you know. So it's a woman's life. It's very much about a woman's life. It's bookended by the two great Donegal All-Ireland wins, 92 and 2012. So it's her life in that time and in between that time, and very much the ups and downs of it.
They're the time frame anchors as much as anything, aren't they?
Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah.
It is about it, and you live through that, but it's a vehicle for a personal story. Really,
exactly, exactly. I suppose if you think of things like Myra, Woman of Derry, which was a very, powerful play, and I suppose it evokes that in some ways, you know. But obviously, you know, we've got 2012 there and, you know, the match and things like that. So it's a great show. It's great fun.
I loved it. Yeah, I remember seeing it the first time around. When was that? How long ago was that? Is that
January?
January. Okay.
Really, I was going to say a couple of months ago, but this year's gone so quick.
Yeah,
anyway.
It has.
I mean, it does. It feels like I've only seen it a couple of weeks ago, but yeah, it was very funny. She's amazing. It's a strong script. It's evocative.
It's emotional too, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
Various emotions.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that classic drama. It'll pull you up. It'll pull you down. Yeah. You know, it'll hook you in.
And as we said before, when we were chatting about some of these things that are very specific, maybe to a sport or to an event, it's actually very general. You don't have to, like, you could travel this almost, you know, you could travel anywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's
very much a woman's story.
Yeah,
it's very much a human story.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about human life and it's the ups and downs of it. And as she says in the play, where her big brother Rory's talking to her, and it's like, you want to know something about football, you need to get up again every time you're hit.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the motto of
that's the core of it, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the core of the show, you know.
All right, when is it on?
20th to the 22nd of July.
Okay, so plenty of time to plan for that then, and I'm sure it'll be really, really well attended.
I think it'll be a highlight, yeah. It'll be one of the things that people will go and see it again, I'm sure, who saw it before, maybe, but people,
but people who missed out,
heard about it will want to go and see
it.
That's the thing, you know.
We're going to be back with much more from our guests, and we have another guest joining us in studio, so I'm going to take this quick break to facilitate that. Stay right where you are. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme, and we've jammed Mick Aitken in between Michael and Dahi. Mick, welcome onto the programme. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you with us. And Michael, you're still with us, aren't you? You are.
Yes.
Dahi's still there.
You can hear me, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just nodding's not fantastic on radio. We appreciate your sentiment, your effort. All right. Talk to us then about Slaughterhouse Comedy, if you don't mind, Mick.
I don't mind at all. Yeah, so on the 6th of July... in House Bar, Voodoo, I'm opening a comedy club. So doors open at 8 p.m. starts at 8:30, and it's a fiver at the door. Cash, by the way, because a lot of people are asking, and yeah, I'm not that prepared. So it's cash at the door, €5.
And what is it?
It's a comedy night.
Stay where you are. That's fine. Just want to pick you up clearly. Go
all
ahead.
All right. Yeah. Just a night of stand up comedy. I've been doing comedy now for a while, but there is nothing in the town here, and it was ripe for the picking, so I went for it.
Talk to us about the lineup.
Oh, it's a great lineup. So the scene in the north, especially Belfast, is booming at the minute. I would find that I'd have to go, like, I'm travelling very far for me to do stuff there's not much about. There is, I'll just mention, there's Chicken Box Comedy in Derry. Mm. There's the Boiler Room in Strabán. And there is, in Oma, the Green Room. So they're kind of the closest to me. But other than that, it's all Belfast. Yeah, so a lot of comedians here are all from the north. Headlined by Kieran Franco and Sean McAlevey. They're both... a part of a podcast, Are We Podcast? Shout out, Are We Podcast? Opened by Justin Freeburden. I've done gigs with all these guys. They're all great comedians. Bronan Nicade, Adam Byrne is the only guy on here I haven't actually done a gig with. But James McCauley, William Callahan, he's the most autistic guy on that list. and Kieran Franco, the headliner's a close second to that. So, yeah.
Why has there been such a gap for so long then?
Oh, I have no idea, but
because we're kicking it in every other element of the arts, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you know, comedy should come natural to us living up here because we've got so much source material. Depending on your style of comedy, I mean, it's just. Do you hope that even though maybe to some extent you're having to import the talent, that as this catches on, it'll either, you know, bring people out of the woodwork that are there that want a platform? They have to prove themselves, of course, to be of a certain standard and what have you. But is that what you hope, that this creates a new scene in the Northwest? As you mentioned, there's Derry and Strabane's there already, but, you know, into Donegal, North Sligo, you know, North Leitrim, that kind of a... I mean, they're out there,
yeah.
But where are they, you know?
Absolutely. They are out there. That's one of my goals with this club opening now. It is open mic style, as in from any level, from beginner to someone on the scene now wanting to sharpen material before a bigger act or anything like that. Absolutely anyone can get in contact and we'll get you on.
Mm.
I want a platform for people to have somewhere to go and to someone to try it for the first time even.
Because even if the truth be told, like if you get some of the top comedians in Britain and Ireland, if they have if they've written a new show, they'll do small shows. If they're going up to the big festival in Scotland, they'll do small house shows to test and refine their material. That happens all the time. It's not anything new here in terms of, you know, people working through their material in front of a live audience effectively.
Absolutely. It's essential. Small clubs are essential for any level of comedian. And there's no shortage of them. Like, I know the opening night is now next Thursday the 6th, but I have the next 3 months fully booked.
Wow.
So, like, and there's still people messaging and stuff. Like, they're all comedians I already know or have heard of. But I'm looking for absolutely anyone to get in contact if they're interested in.
And from an audience perspective too, you know, I mean, there are comedy shows that come here, but if you look at the population, how many as a percentage of that population actually get to go along? If people enjoy their comedy shows on the TV and even their panel shows or whatever, this is a real opportunity in a local environment for €5 entry to sort of say, well, I wonder what live comedy is like. It's got to be hit and miss.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the nature of comedy, isn't it?
Of course,
it?
I'm
not going to name them because it's going to sound like I'm criticising them, but there's some, you know, very, very famous comedians in this country that I just don't get. Yeah. And then there's others that others don't get that for some reason everything comes out of the mouth amuses me.
Absolutely, yeah. I'd say people won't get me much. I'm a very, I don't know how to say it, blue... Dirty. I'm
You're
definitely 18.
Punk.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take that all day.
That's a fair description.
But yeah, just so people are aware what they're getting into.
I mean, it is adult. It is over 18.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I want to make come a point with that understanding. I'm sure.
Yeah. Exactly. You know. It's not.
I mean, any.
We're not going to give away a family pass to this one.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
You know what I mean?
No.
But the change, the different styles is part of the appeal of these nights. I mean, you know that if the guy who's up now or the girl who's up now isn't quite what you're seeing,
isn't it?
The next person will probably be more your style. That's part of it. People know that going in.
Yeah.
You know?
And there is a good mix in this lineup. There's some cleaner guys, some not so clean guys, but it's a good mix. And it is all jokes. I would like for there not to be too many, snowflakes on the night. You know, don't come to get offended. Come to have a good night and just enjoy yourself. It's just a joke.
I think that whole, I think it's been thrashed out, that argument now about where you can go with comedy. I think it's, everyone's had their say and the dust has settled and we are where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, and there's been some high profile politicians, comedians that have led the way in that regard. But I mean, I don't really want to go, I don't want to go through it locally. Put it like that. If you're easily offended, please don't go.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I'm going to say. The format then is doors open at 8. The show gets underway at 8:30 and then runs. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 named acts.
Yeah.
And that's it. So in other words, if someone says, I want to perform on this coming Thursday,
no,
the slots are booked. It's for future gigs down the line.
Future gigs down the line to get in contact with. And like I say, so I'm aiming for the first Thursday of every month. And like I said, I have the next 3 months already fully booked. So that's amazing. The event is sponsored by Absolute Vodka. Shout out Absolute Vodka. And so there'll be bottles of vodkas up for grabs on the night. I'm thinking on running a wee joke competition amongst the crowd. So.
Right, okay.
And I'm also going to solve a Rubik's Cube live on stage.
Right. I don't know if that's a reference to recent events or not, but anyway, hopefully you survive that one. Okay, Dahi, do you have a favourite joke that you're prepared to share?
You've just jumped this on me,
exactly.
Greg.
Of course it is.
Absolutely.
We don't give guests forewarning here. I'm not going to ask.
I'm not the funny one in the family, but my son actually... was in Chicken Box last month. He tried his first.
He's 19. Of so. Neck, doesn't it?
Oh, very good.
Dahi.
He did Chicken Box.
Takes a lot of neck. I think, you know, even more so than maybe singing or acting.
It's
because
funny. It's kind of funny though, because like he'd call me to take a spider out of his room, but he'll stand up in front of, you know, 20, 30 people and do a piece about, well, I'm not even going to talk about what the piece was about. But like, it's funny, isn't it? Yeah. Human beings, we're complicated creatures. What we'll do and what we won't do.
Do you have a view on what you can joke about, what you can't joke about, or do you think comedy?
You've got to be funny. You can talk about anything as long as you're funny.
Yeah.
It's when the joke doesn't land that people get in trouble.
Or it lands in the wrong place, I suppose, too.
Mm. Well, yeah, I guess context is a big thing. Yeah. But if it's funny, people laugh.
Yeah.
When it's not funny,
I don't think comedians would go out necessarily to offend. It's just maybe the room wrong.
It's the right... Yeah, it's
getting I do think, though, you should be allowed to criticise comedians. I don't think they should be the only group in society you can't call out.
Yeah.
You know,
For sure.
Fair enough, yeah.
I think, though, because it can be often lead into such serious conversations that we have to have a fulsome, nuanced, not just like, he said something I don't like. Yeah, but I'm joking, so I'm going to say whatever I like. That's pointless. And I think that's the part of the conversation I think we've kind of exhausted, which I think is good.
Yeah. What was interesting in the theatre recently was Tommy Tiernan had the yonder bikes. So it's like an enclosed pouch you put your phone in, so nobody could video or record him. I would say it was the best gig he's done in the theatre in 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So the freedom. He had the confidence of things not being taken out of context.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
And Tommy does
walk
the line sometimes.
Well,
he not
only walks the line, he crosses it, jumps all over whatever's on the other side. And some of his jokes, there is no comedic context. They've just been downright offensive, in my view. But anyway, we're not going to get into that now. That was a different time. I think we're in a different period of time now. Have you a good joke?
We were chatting about an old horrible joke last night.
It better be short.
So we were chatting about this old Jiminy Cricket gag where, the young fella who's gone off to London and his mother hasn't heard from him, so she sends the neighbour's son to find him, and he heads off going from pub to pub to pub, and he finally figures out that he might be in this bar, and he goes in and the guy is in the bathroom, he runs in and he says, "Are you nearly done?" And the guy's voice comes from the other side of the cubicle, I am, but there's no paper in here." That's no excuse. You should write home to your mother.
Right, okay.
That was we were chatting with this guy. We were trying to figure out where the joke came from, and we eventually found it.
I just don't have any candle after here.
I've got a joke. Okay. I've got a joke for you. Yes. It's a Stephen Wright joke.
Yes.
And it's, I can levitate birds,
but
nobody cares.
I hate things that are clever. Too clever for me. Hopefully make yours a little bit more easy to understand.
My joke?
No, I
cannot tell a joke
here. I said from the get-go, Mick, no, it's not going to happen. So if people want to see Mick, you're performing Thursday, are you?
No, I'm emceeing.
You're Mick Sham, that's your stage name.
I'm Mick Sham, name. That's kind of complicated. I won't get into it. Anyway, yeah, Mick Sham.
You literally can't open your mouth.
Yeah, I can't. I'm really trying. There's people tuning in right now just to see if I curse.
Yeah, well, listen, it happens from time...
Forget about it.
It happens from time to time, but we appreciate your self-censoring. Yeah. All right, listen, Mick, as I say, I hope this grows from strength to strength, and I just hope that it brings out the natural talent that we have out there, because where would you go? You know, you were not going to book your own venue and...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Comedy's a different way where you have to sort of get the audience and get in front of that audience, isn't it? You know, it's not like a country singer can get a bit of a reputation, book out a small venue, sell. You know, it's not like that for comedians. Yeah. So this it can be, but it's just hard to start that way, right? Yeah. So this is brilliant. All right, Thursday night, 21 Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, County Donegal. It's the House Bar View. Doors open at 8 p.m., starts at 8:30. Entries are £5, cash only.
Cash is king.
Cash is king, all right, okay. Well done, Mick, MC Mick Sham there, Kieran Franco, Sean McLeavy, Brona Nicrua.
Nicade.
Yes. That's actually McHugh, isn't it? I should know that. Adam Byrne, James McCauley, William Callahan, Declan McBride, Justin Freeburn.
Yeah,
and well done.
Yeah.
Good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
It's a huge success for you and all of those taking part. Dave, you don't mind. Okay. Right, Mick didn't want to leave. I thought he was going to hang on. No shame in that either if he wanted to. More than welcome.
Sure, the crack's good.
Exactly. We're very relaxed, aren't we?
It's like a comedy club in itself.
It is. Indeed, except without the gags.
I knew you'd say that.
Certainly from you two. Like, I'm doing the heavy lifting here.
Well, in fairness, like, Michael Leddy was a professional comedian. Well, professional stretching a point.
Yeah, this is in Christmas. Yeah. That's why this will do. This will fly because we had a club for years, and Porrick ran it. And Barry
Donald performed in it.
And
was
he did. And that ran. He's on to a winner. He's going to, because there is an audience there, and people will come out, and they came out for years, and they'll come out, and it'll thrive, and it should thrive, and it's good to see it. And I look forward to going along and sitting in the audience and having a good laugh.
Do you think that? Do you know, just to catch his on, do you think it has to be toned down at all? Do you know what I mean? You don't, people are going there with their eyes wide open?
No. I don't think it is. I don't think that, you don't think, people are smart. People
Knowledge are, Fight podcast, Michael,
what's going on here? Yeah, because we don't normally chat that much about podcasts, but they're out there and people do listen to them.
In huge numbers.
So this is one that's come to my attention in the last month or so, and I love it. If I was to ask you the question, who is the most evil man in broadcasting? You might say Ryan Tubridy, that's fair enough. But is there somebody even more evil out there? And the answer is yes, and that is Alex Jones, in my view, who is the guy who hosts the show InfoWars, which is the conspiracy right-wing, racist, misogynistic throne that everyone...
And there is good points.
Was he the guy who got sued for a lot of money for Sandy Hook?
Yeah, and then promptly declared bankruptcy. Said so he can't pay all the money he owes. So yeah, he's the guy who says things like Sandy Hook is a false flag operation and none of those children were shot and the kids. So he's a. I've been aware of him for about 15 years. Back in the days of MySpace, that shows how long ago somebody reached out to me and wanted me to, you know, favour him or what was it on MySpace? It wasn't like, was it you had to endorse or you had to attach them to your profile or something?
Yeah.
And I took great obsession to this anyhow. So what am I chatting about here? What's this all about? There's a comedy-esque but very serious-minded podcast that started in 2017. Two comedians in Chicago, Dan and Jordan are their names. One of them knew what Alex Jones was up to and one of them didn't. And so they concocted a podcast where about two or three times a week, they do a show, which is very funny, but they listen to Alex Jones's daily episode and then one of them, the guy who listens to it, fact checks it and, you know, holds it up to critical thinking and analysis, and he explains it to the other guy, and the other guy never listens to the show, so he only gets it through the filter. And the reason I found them, it was actually, they've now started, because this is so successful, they have like 800 episodes up there, 816 episodes as of last week. They've actually branched out a bit after focusing so much on Jones, and they did Tucker Carlson, who is another sort of mainstream sort of thing. And this, I came across it, I listened to that episode, and it really appeals to me, this idea of using critical thinking and humour to debunk what these people are doing. Alex Jones has about 10 million listeners for his show, for InfoWars. That makes him more popular, I was doing some research on this, than some of the mainstream American news sites like Newsweek. I mean, they have a larger following. And a lot of the conspiracies that really take flight because of his show. Mm. Things like Pizzagate and all the stuff that happens. Mm. And it really destroys the lives of ordinary people. Like the pizza that was at the center.
But who's consuming... You see, this is a problem, unfortunately, with modern society now, because it's going to be your anti-Tucker Carlson, anti-what's-his-face InfoWars that are going to consume this and go, look, we're right, because they're proving that he's wrong.
Yeah.
Or do you think this is generally educating the great American public?
I would hope that because it's very funny... And the guys are comedians,
that
they put it. I would hope that it has a general appeal and you would like to think that it would educate people. But I do think that a lot of the hardcore followers of these people are like, they're in a cult. And I think it's very hard to reason with them and to get
I'm going to slightly separate out, if you don't mind, Alex Jones, I think, and Tucker Carlson. I think Tucker Carlson's not where Alex Jones is.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think he's slightly more mainstream than Alex Jones. I mean, he is... absolutely killing it on Twitter in terms of interactions and views and what have you. I'm on about like tens of millions.
We only have Twitter's word on that, though. We only have Twitter's word on that.
We only have Twitter's word on that. But what they do very well, I take about what you're saying, but when they dissect, like what Carlson does and what Jones does is they'll try and give legitimacy to some of the things they're saying by saying, hey, even the Washington Post has a piece up that says blah, blah.
But and then, I'm only asking questions.
Oh, no, you're asking.
No, not me. That's what they say. That's what they say. I'm only asking questions here.
What they show is that what Carlson does very well is he either accidentally misinterprets articles that he quotes or deliberately lies about the content of articles that he quotes. But they use the first show of his, he talked a great length about the dam that was blown up in the Ukraine. And there was a big thing about what happened there and who did mm-hmm. that. If you listen to Carlson, Carlson knew instantly who did it and why they did it. And he spoke and he said, and it was even covered in a news story about 6 months ago and blah, blah, blah. So what did these guys do? But they went back and read the story he was talking about and they were like, no.
Didn't say that.
It didn't say that.
Yeah, I kind of used to care and I kind of really don't anymore.
Yeah.
Another example of it recently was there was I have no allegiance or really following to Greta Thunberg. I don't, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
I don't,
yeah.
I'm not, I, it's not that I disagree with her. It's not that I agree with her. I just don't really, you know, I'm not that worried
yeah.
about what she has to say. But she tweeted about 5 years ago and the tweet read along the lines of, if we don't stop using oil and gas over the next 5 years, the world will come to an end, right? Now, clearly what she was saying, whether she was right or wrong, it was very, very clear. She was saying over the next 5 years, we need to start
yeah.
reducing this stuff
yeah, we need to
or in the future, the world
yeah.
will end, okay?
Yeah.
But really intelligent people of a certain political persuasion were laughing, saying, well, we're all still here, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at one point I was going to tweet something and I thought, if you're going
to
frame something because that's the way you want to think about it,
yeah, yeah.
there's just no point challenging it.
I agree with
it's
you.
Just, you know, I just pulled out. I'm back out of it now.
Yeah.
Do you get where I'm coming from?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
My life's too short
yeah.
to
yeah.
fact check or get involved
yeah.
or
I do,
that space.
I agree with you. I totally feel that. But I also feel that whether we like it or not, it's the world we live in. And when you hear that millions of people believe verbatim everything Alex Jones says, I think that's worthy of paying some attention to. I think
yeah.
it's important
well,
to know.
So,
but I agree with you. I think you're not going to achieve very much by trying to hold a light in the darkness mm, you know, on your
yeah.
own. But these guys are very successful. The lawyer...
It sounds like a really interesting concept.
It's
whether,
a great concept.
Even if you don't really buy what they're selling, it sounds like
it's
really
very
interesting
funny,
concept.
Yeah.
I was
going to
ask, are
yeah.
they getting big numbers?
That I don't know. I didn't even look into that,
okay.
and I must look into that. But what I can say is the lawyer who successfully prosecuted Jones used their show for research
oh, well.
And came on the show and talked at great length.
Okay.
So their work is actually doing some good.
Okay,
but of course, he's now bankrupt and he won't pay any of that money.
Have a
so.
Listen to that. It's Knowledge
Fight.
It's a podcast. All right. Alan O'Reilly's of Carlo Weather. Alan, hiya.
Numbers,
good
yeah,
to have you with us.
How
are you
doing,
on?
Greg?
Doing fantastic, Alan. Right, okay. So unseasonably windy weather. Is that what we're heading into here in the Northwest over the weekend?
Yeah, it's going to get windy later this evening. It's going to be a very breezy weekend, gusting to maybe 60 or 70 kilometres an hour, even the next two afternoons and evenings. Some good sunny spells, though, for the weekend. There will be some showers around, so it will be the typical Irish summer, lovely between the showers weather. But yeah, not too bad. Temperatures not too high, though. Feeling fresh in that breeze as well, so it's not going to be probably T-shirts and shorts weather, but not too bad, just some showers. Next week then is looking a little bit unsettled again. The European weather model is showing a risk of a little storm developing and coming up across us Tuesday into Wednesday, which is what Aaron have mentioned in their forecast, but the other models aren't showing that. So I'm hoping that that doesn't turn out to be the case, but certainly a lot of uncertainty on the weather models. Some hints that we may heat up for next weekend. So I'm hoping I'm going to bring the heat back up to Donegal with me when I head up there, Greg.
Oh, Alan, we can't wait to have you up here. And I don't know, sometimes it's a blessing or it's a curse, the way you can look so far into the future now, even with, only a degree of certainty. But you don't see anything fantastic over the next while? Or is that heating up next weekend maybe the beginning of something?
Well, no, because even if it does heat up, it does still look like we're going to have low pressure near us. So there's no sign of a big settled spell. The first week of July is certainly a mixed bag. As we head into the second week, we might see it warm up, but we're not looking at Azores High coming back. But some of the longer range do show that there's a good chance of that later in July. So I wouldn't be writing off for summer as summer doing. Certainly wouldn't.
Good stuff, Alan. We love your optimism. We look forward to welcoming you up to this beautiful part of the world. Thanks, Alan. Take care of yourself. That's Alan O'Reilly of Carlo Weather there. Right, our cinema winner is Eileen Doherty Killigordon, aged four. She and four others are going to that premiere of Elemental on the 5th of July. Eileen, I hope you have a fantastic time. Thank you so much for entering the competition. There'll be another family pass, as I say. It's a flexible family pass to accommodate whatever is necessary, within reason, of course, on John's show, which is coming live from Creasle. A tractor run from the Red Hughes pitch in Killygordon this Sunday afternoon at 12 noon. It's in aid of Donegal Alzheimer's Association. Refreshments afterwards. And just to remind you to join John Breslin today. He's broadcasting live at the award-winning Wild Atlantic Camp and Luxury Glamping Complex in Creasle today. They've just launched 9 brand new 2-story luxury chalets. So tune in, or why not pop down if in the area, for great fun and plenty of giveaways. I would like to go glamping, but...
That's a great spot, actually, the Wild Atlantic Camp.
There, yeah. I've stayed there myself in my own toad accommodation. But the problem is apparently, I don't believe it to be the case, that I might actually make some slight noises when I sleep. and the pods don't afford escape from such noise.
Noise.
Yeah, so don't know what to do there. The 2-story, I wonder, is upstairs. I snored, hey.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry. Was I being a bit opaque?
I was wondering if it was screaming.
I watched so... Chance will be a fine thing. I watched so much...
Only on a Thursday night. He's like, Michael Leddy's coming in again tomorrow.
I watched so much of the... I've watched so much of the committees over the last couple of days. I am just like by default opaque now.
All right.
So, yeah, skirting around things. Right. Let us see. Eragle Arts Festival. We're going to be presumably doing a preview on that at some point. We normally do, or John show will in any case.
Yeah.
When does it start?
It starts... Oh, I'm on the spot now.
Right. It's literally on your sheet of paper here.
I know. It's next weekend, isn't it? So...
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's presume
sounds
it does
good.
Start...
So the, sounds good.
Is that the 8th?
Let's presume it starts next weekend.
Yeah. Is that
or
at
some later date. Looking forward to it?
I was just thinking, it doesn't worry if you don't have it. We can fix this in post anyway. Don't worry about it. We'll edit it in before this is broadcast.
I've already marked it. We'll cut that out. There's when we go live.
We cut off before we go live. I'm looking forward to it. It's always great. It's great because it's always a mixed bag.
Yeah.
It's great because it's... look, I know people are saying this, but it's great that we can all meet again and get out and do stuff and really embrace it and be out there. And there's something for everybody. I know I sound like a cliche here, but there's something for everybody. There'll be something of...
I think quick highlights for me, the Ramp Festival in Rathmullen is the opening weekend. So it's a music, kind of improvisational music, and interest in buildings in Rathmullen, which just sounds really interesting to me. Lux are back. So that's the big open air spectacular nighttime show. They'll be in Buncrana and Aaron Moore. And I think the Aaron Moore one sounds... That sounds like a real trip.
I haven't
been
out in Aaron Moore since 2019?
Yeah.
And I miss it. It's a lovely part of the world. I used to go out there 2 or 3 times a year. Loved it.
Okay.
Have they lifted the bar in order?
Well, if what you should really know, and this shows your ignorance.
How bad is your snoring? This is what I want to hear.
What goes on in Aaron Moore stays in Aaron Moore.
That's very true.
So you clearly don't visit there often enough. I think my report card's clear. It's not recently,
I'm just thinking, snoring? That's a big problem?
We pretend it's thunder when it hits hits Burton Port.
When it gets
thunder,
that bad, okay.
I think one of the great things about the Eragle Arts Festival is, it'll be in Malin, it'll be in Gweedore, it'll be on Aran Mór, it'll be in Letterkenny. Yeah. And I think that's one of... It is its unique feature.
There's plenty
it's the USP, isn't
in
it?
In terms of locale
yeah.
and content.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right,
yes.
Okay. And we'll be talking about that during the week, as I say, more.
Yeah.
Dahi, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
A super sub, I think we can call you now at this stage.
Yes. Thank you very much.
We really do appreciate it. Any details on what's going on Ungreanon, give the box office a ring with Jimmy's winning matches and whatever. Thanks for your reflections. Michael.
Yes, sir.
Guru Mila Maha.
Great fun as always. Always
we really
it.
Appreciate
Great
you calling up. And we'll see you next
love
week.
Love it.
Actually, we've got a minute to fill. No,
can
got
I just say, can I just say my quick tip for this weekend, the Lennon Festival Soapbox Derby, Sunday afternoon.
Are you in it?
No, but it is, I think, it's so much fun. It's mayhem. And the weather could just add to that, in fairness. It's great fun. It really is. Yeah. And people turn out. So I know that you're kind of advertising the music the weekend after, But actually, things kick off this weekend.
Brilliant. Well done, Dahi. Thanks so much indeed. Thank you. Michael, Dahi, have a lovely week.
And,
and that goes to everyone listening. Have a great weekend. We're back with you on Monday at 9 a.m. Stay safe, look after each other, and stay tuned. John Bresson's coming up live from Chrysler around the Northwest next.